Right now, though, we're going to talk with independent MEP for Ireland South, Michael McNamara. And Michael, good morning to you. We're going to talk in a moment about the support you've gathered for a ban on AI-generated nudify applications. But before we talk about that, what can you say about what is happening at the moment, the pressure people are under, and I don't know where we go from here at a European or world level in terms of the crisis that we're in?
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary failure of politics that people are witnessing. I mean, it's sort of almost a return of over 100 years to, it feels a bit like the lead into World War One in many respects. I know I heard your commentators talking, or sorry, comments coming in from listeners talking about the Dardanelles and that. I mean, you have something that's not dissimilar to the World War One trenches in eastern Ukraine. You have what's happening now in Iran and the middle, right across the Middle East. It's not just Iran. And really a failure of politicians to deal with it in any meaningful way. I mean, we saw the images when Trump was in Scotland and met with Ursula von der Leyen and the complete sycophancy. We saw the German leader's failure to say anything when Trump was proposing taking measures against the Spanish, even though they're in the European Union together. So, I mean, unfortunately, there is this failure of politics, and nobody's really coming up with ideas. I mean, we can't get energy from the Middle East anymore. We refuse. Obviously, we're at war with Russia, and you can't help but wonder, you know, when are we going to try diplomacy again? Because ultimately, wars end with when people start talking. And
is diplomacy out of fashion in the era of the international law breaking down and unilateral actions by independent states acting in their own self-interest all the time?
It certainly seems to be, but I mean, it also seems to be out of fashion in Brussels. I mean, I know Brussels would say, well, you can't talk to dictators, but I mean, at some point, we're going to have to start talking to them. I'm not saying that we're going to have to not remember who we're talking to and what they've done, but we are going to have to talk to the Russians. We are going to have to talk, and we'll have to talk to regimes that we don't like. That's what diplomacy is about. It's not just because you're talking to somebody doesn't mean you agree with them or you like them. It just means that you recognise you have to talk to them because the alternatives are worse.
Yeah, and is that where you think we are at the moment, Michael? And does the EU play a role there, or is the EU out of the game? Because this is America and Israel launching this action in the Middle East, and that's where the war is at the moment.
I mean, the EU plays a role when it chooses to play a role, which is rarely, unfortunately. I mean, when Ursula von der Leyen did suggest that there might be sanctions introduced against, of course, they've been vetoed by a number of member states, but there might be sanctions introduced against Israel for what it was doing in Gaza, given that the European Union is its biggest trading partner, it did start to listen. But of course, its allies in the EU have vetoed that. I mean, I think Europe has to start playing a role. I mean, the idea that we can just ride along on Donald Trump's coattails is, and I'm not saying that that's the Irish position, it's far from it, but it is the position of a number of member states. And it's obviously, I mean, I was surprised, I have to say, by the response when I went in on Monday morning and we had a meeting of my group, which is, you know, MEPs pretty much from across Europe. I was surprised by the response of many to the initial response to the start of the campaign in Iran, saying, oh, well, maybe it's not that bad. And I said, but like, it's going to be pretty bad once our citizens run out of fuel to heat themselves. I know it's not the depths of winter, but nor is it the middle of summer, and it's going to be pretty bad once the refugees start streaming in, and both of those are going to happen, and Europe is going to have to deal with those. And lo and behold, you know, they're now beginning to realise that it is a huge problem. I mean, fuel prices are Europe doesn't have any energy. Where do you get it from? I mean, we import it. It shut down, in its wisdom or lack thereof, shut down its nuclear power generation capacity in Germany, which is, of course, is the industrial, or was the industrial powerhouse of Europe. So I think as a continent, as a place in the world, we're in a lot of difficulty.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you believe there will be a refugee crisis that will affect Europe from what's happening in the Middle East right now?
Well, I mean, there has to. I mean, there's a fifth of the population of Lebanon have had to move. I mean, I suppose it's ironic in a way that we know so little about what's actually happening in other countries, in particular maybe Iran, Israel itself. We're not so clear about what's happening, even though we live in an information age. Obviously, you know, the filming of the filming of people are being prosecuted for filming videos and uploading them in many states across the Middle East. So, I mean, you know, when you destabilize a region, we saw what happened in Iraq. I mean, it was, you know, great in theory. We were going to just take out the leaders of the Ba'ath regime, and you know, it turned into a stable democracy overnight, but that didn't happen, and we had huge numbers of refugees. The same thing with the war in Syria, which was a knock-on effect of what was happening in Iraq. So, I mean, it was over 1 million refugees settled in Germany immediately after that. So I just don't see how that's not going to happen if this continues.
Okay, all right, we'll see where that goes. On to other matters, Michael. Two committees in the European Parliament have backed proposals for a ban on AI nudification apps that allow users to create non-consensual sexual images of adults and children. These were votes in the Committee on the Internal Market and Consumer Protection and the Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, part of a digital omnibus on artificial intelligence. What does this mean? You're part of the Renew group, as you've said, and you're saying, look, this has to come into force.
Yeah, I mean, basically, all AIs could, in theory, generate these kind of images where you take an image of a real person, not sort of a synthetic person that doesn't exist, but a real person, and you alter that image so that they are no longer wearing clothes, or they're no longer wearing very many clothes, or they're engaged in sexual activity, or you turn it into a video where they're engaged in sexual activity. And of course, none of this is with their consent. It's done often, sometimes as a joke, and people think it's harmless and spirals out of control. It's often done to humiliate and embarrass people, done far more often to women than to men, and it has a very different... I mean, we know of an Irish election candidate that this happened to, and she's spoken out about the effect it had on her. It is one of the many new barriers to women entering public life, but it also happens to young people, and often young girls, and it's used sometimes to blackmail them, to bully them, and of course can have horrendous consequences. Jackie Fox, who's the mother of Coco, who killed herself as a result of bullying, both in person and online, addressed the European Parliament and spoke very forcibly about the need to counter this, to protect people. So, I mean, it is, as I say, AIs can do this. Most won't. If you ask most AIs to do this, that I have an image of Jerry O'Sullivan or Michael McNamara or whoever, can you give me an image of them with their clothes off? Most will say, no, I can't do, I won't do that. But some do, and they do it for commercial gain, and that is what it sought to combat, that if that is going to be done, there has to be the person's explicit consent.
Okay, what pressure will this put on providers? I know there's a timeline for them to get these standards in place.
It will come in pretty instantaneously if it comes in, and I mean, there is considerable support for it in the Parliament. There's also, I mean, the laws in Europe are determined in the same way that the Dáil and the Seanad create a law in Ireland. In Europe, the Parliament and the Council simultaneously come together to make a law, and there's also support for it in the Council. France and Spain in particular were pushing for this to be included in the Council suggestion. It's something that I think Ireland is, well, it's something I know that Ireland is also supporting. There is a likelihood of a ban coming into being that would come in probably the middle of July, certainly just before the summer starts, and it would be pretty instantaneous. As I say, this won't affect the majority of AIs that won't do this. It just affects those that do it will have to demonstrate consent. It's already illegal in some member states, but not all. It's a little bit unclear in Ireland, the law. I mean, the user, it's unclear. The user is banned from doing it, but not the platform, not the system that's enabling it. And the problem is, of course, you could always do this. You could do this 20 years ago with Photoshop or something, but it took a lot of time, it took a lot of effort, it took a lot of...
It's much easier now, and faster and cheaper.
Now with AI, and you can generate thousands of these images almost instantaneously and really damage somebody if you go about that.
Yeah, finally, Mike, on that, you also voted in favour of giving providers time to comply with rules on watermarking AI-created videos.
So that
you'll have to, when you're seeing something, there'll be an indication, just like in a picture as who took it, an indication of actually this isn't real, this is AI-produced content.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I mean, that ban was due to come in the 2nd of August. The commissioner proposed to give an additional 6 months to AI providers to do this. The Parliament is looking to bring that back a bit so that it's less than 6 months. From a technical perspective, I'm told that it's difficult to label text materials as being AI generated, but from a technological perspective, it's relatively easy to label images and videos. And of course, I think from a political perspective, the major concern is videos and images, that people are seeing images and videos and they assume that it's real, or maybe they don't, maybe nobody believes anything anymore, which is of course another problem if that's the scenario where we end up in. But the priority would be around images and videos to make sure that if people see an image and video and it's AI generated, that they're instantly made aware that it is an AI generated and not real. It has big repercussions in politics. I suppose we saw one in the Irish presidential campaign, that fake video of an RT news broadcast, but it didn't have a huge effect. There are lots of them in other countries that are having a greater effect. And I mean, there's no reason to believe that elections in the European Union would be any different or insulated.
Any different.
But I mean, it has a broader effect in scams and tech, financial scams, and generally a breakdown in trust in society, breakdown in trust in the media and society, which is damaging.
Okay, all right, Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us about that. That's Michael McNamara, Ireland South MVP, Independent MVP in Ireland South.